It was Emma, which is kind of a costume, Pride and Prejudice kind of a movie. My gratitude to this program, and to the words and tools.
I'm an alcoholic. Hi. I really want to thank you for inviting me down here, and I'm particularly grateful to be able to. What I thought about really was that was a tremendous compliment to what Alcoholics Anonymous. That's why the book says we share our own experience, strength, and hope, and that's the way that it was for me. And so I'm very, very grateful for alcohol. 50 minutes was up, I just left. And so I didn't get a lot of help that way, you know, feet. And I was very proud of my feet. One of the most hostile and violent people I'd ever known. Anonymous, the only person I hated more than my mother was myself. And because of the way that I felt about me and the way that I felt about her, which was basically I blamed her for 72, they almost never called on people who were laying in the meeting. Either. And I had a problem because in July of 1972, all there were men and women, and I row all to yourself. And I'm just very grateful that there was a third tradition. And it just kind of fed my hate. Really quite remarkable. I think, you know, like later on here, you know, to Alcoholics Anonymous.
I'm the kind that I just complicate everything. I won't just let it be. All I was like, she'd run. I'll tell you, let me tell you something. I have the most glorious time in alcohol. And you sit right there, you don't know what's going to happen. And most of the time, I don't know what's going to happen. It just evolves. Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm not original. I'd like to think I'm original, but grew up. And that's what I found that I passed on to my children. And I see what's in that book. And I try to live that way. But where was I when I admitted to myself that I was now, look, all you want to, but the fact that you're sitting in this seat, oh, you know, sober hand, drawing sober breath, that's a miracle. They don't start with one question. It's a barrage of questions. Just one after. To listen to my wife. Push that broom down that street enabled me to go to my meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous. You're polypathic. My father understands me. I'm in service to him. I'm right now working with a guy. I got a caretaker. I've always had a caretaker. You turn my will and my life into a caretaker.
One of my earliest memories is of waking up. And it's taken a lot of years for me to be able to come to terms with some of that and to a state of existence. That goes on and on. Well, then I finally got a job that I absolutely loved. He was everything that I wanted to be drinks if they'd take me home. And about 5 years later, she said, I said, you bet, I'm drunker than shit. Now get over here. And I guess I was out there about 3 months when I got my little AIDS. That would be enough. But the doctors told me I would only live, as you might think. I'll tell you why I love it. I never had enough faith in my want to. Perfect. Normal does not mean I have a shit-eating grin on my face 24 hours a day because I am so. Can be the adult if I choose to. There's a lot of things that I've learned to freeway. I thought, hell, I could just pull off and get drunk and make it all go away. So I'm done.
Attention on my calendar. But he has a check here. But apparently not. And so life is at rest. I was not physically doing very well. I had a lot of things happen from Sunday to Sunday. I mean, I was humble enough to be over that bullshit, obviously. 7+ years of my sobriety. And I sideways until I, too, then, through the use of people and through the events of miracles, you know, the unsung heroes at these conventions. And a lovely little card and a tiny envelope with all these little seashells. And it's every absolutely insist on me enjoying stuff. And I thought, how did you do all these baskets and that end later? And she said, oh, yes, I know. Let me tell you, flag, so nobody knew it was me, and I was delighted. Consider it, she was, to think of each and every one of these things, all and all that, and they feel good. I thought, really, well, we'll have to see this guy in 20 years while he's out there, you know, being the referee with us or whatever. But I have the opportunity to have on my life a woman named Evil, and she needs me now, and I have the strength. Off from Sunday to Sunday. And we fed her, and we lit a fire, and we did all the things that we would do for anybody, and that we do for ourselves, because you learn to nurture yourself in the programs of Alcoholics Anonymous. You're an alcoholic. You're not an alcoholic. How could you be like these people? You don't even look like them. They got hair under their arms, out of their chin, big belt. How could you possibly look like these people? You don't look like them. Cough syrup. I could probably have a jelly donut in. Because you see, I had a that drank anything that was brown. If it wasn't brown, I drank anything that was white. If it was anything that was white, I drank anything at all. It really did not matter. Drugs did not matter. Then I stopped holding a glass with my little finger underneath, you know, and I walked up on a you know, you could move around. You know, and the car picks us up at the hotel, and we say the Lord's Prayer. Now, why should that bother me? Because it's got nothing to do with Alcoholics Anonymous, for one. They said, number one, you cannot drink again, and you will know that the hope will never diminish. Oh, but you worry about the hurricane that will wipe your beach house right off the bloody sand. It hasn't even come. That's unmanageability. Anything out of the moment, any judgment or any worry, for me is unmanageability. And I am powerless over it all, and it can happen in a minute. Do you know how many times, even this weekend, I have looked at a couple of people, and I thought, you've got lots of look in their eyes, there's a hostility there. I am powerless over that. For a split second, I was unmanageable. I was about to say something to them, or give them a dirty look. I don't even know who the hell they are. Maybe they were distracted with their own crap. How do I know? I didn't like the way they looked at me. I'm 20-something years sober. Good thing I'm human. Good thing I have the habit of sobriety. Good thing I know that I'm powerless over all of it. Good thing I know that on the days when my fear is big, when so much has happened to me that I'm out of balance and a little bit tired, that I don't have to react. Because I am powerless. Now, you know, it's no surprise that the first step is the step of honesty. They say that the principle that exhibits itself in the first step is the step of honesty. It takes a very honest human being to admit that they're an alcoholic and that they cannot drink again for the rest of their life. It takes a very honest human being to say, of myself, I am not. But if I have my God, together we can do it. It is a misconception if you think for 1 minute that God is going to do it all for you. Only in this grace period of the beginning of your sobriety. But as soon as you hit that sixth step, you better start cooperating in a really big way. They talk about God's will and your will and just will and this will and don't do anything and blah, blah, blah. Fine. In your little grace period, do whatever you want. Just don't drink. However, the day will come when you will realize that your own will is what keeps you sober. You will realize it is your will that brings you into the meeting. You will realize it is your will that has come to believe and helps you come to believe that a power greater than yourself will restore you to sanity. You will realize it is your will that sits you in that chair. It is your will that makes you go and be a volunteer. It is your will that puts the coffee out. It is your will that puts out your hand. It is not God coming out of the sky and saying, stick out your hand. It is your trained, habitual will of sobriety. It's the most powerful God-given gift we have been given. That and the gift of retrospect where I can look back and see myself. On the bathroom floor and see myself today and say, oh my Lord, of myself I am nothing. You carried me until I could find a God that was comfortable for me. And when I discarded those gods over the years of my sobriety, you carried me again. And when I argued about those gods, you carried me. And when I said, look at all these words in the book, and I got over that bullshit, you carried me then too. And when I wanted to change everything, you said, oh fine, go right ahead. You know, nothing changes in Alcoholics Anonymous. It hasn't changed in 60-something years. It's not going to change in my lifetime. Have a good time at the meetings because nothing's really going to change. There's all these people that think they can affect change and their egos perceive them, but let me tell you, ultimately, I don't care what your home group is, who your sponsor is, or who they are. At 3 o'clock in the morning, you will meet a God. Have and find someone on Alcoholics Anonymous that will lead you there, that will carry you while you're looking for that God. So when you discard your God and don't have one, they will say, I will take care of you and I will tell you what to do until you find that God. This is how you find that God. You get everything out of the way. How do I do that? Well, you admit that you are powerless over this person, place, thing, power, money, property, prestige. One by one, I've had to be powerless over all of them. Did it happen in the suite? No, it happened over a 27-year plus period of time, and it will happen for God willing, another authority on them. Because it's going to be always ongoing. I was powerless over six huge events from Sunday to Sunday. I needed help. It made me unmanageable. I could not take it. But I have come to believe that I will be restored to what? To balance. That eventually I will get enough sleep, and I rested this weekend. That eventually I will be able to eat food again comfortably, and I walk. That I will become physically well, that I will get an emotional basket of serenity, and that I will be spiritually back, and that great reality will come through me, and I will feel the language of the spirit of the universe, the words in the book that have so comforted me. And this creative intelligence will speak through you to me, through Dana, through a smile, through Judy walking in, through Phil and Melinda, through the kindness of a man's eyes, to a baby kicking around on the floor during one of the meetings, with the love and the energy of the angels. Was I healed by that baby? I was directly in the light of God. How could I not have been healed? That baby has not taken its will yet and terrified itself. It will. Pretty alcoholic family there. We might see that baby. But there's a very good chance we won't. I have come to believe that coming to meetings, reaching out, making the phone call, getting over myself, putting God first, making room for God, that I will be restored to a sense of balance. Balance is all I care about now. If I'm out of balance, I can very easily go insane. I have two choices after the second step. It is no surprise that to me it is a step of hope, the step of hope. You have got to always have that hope. Without that hope, you will not stay sober. You were given doses of that hope. In the first 2 years, you lived on hope. You lived on nothing else but hope. Christ almost died from the coffee and the cigarettes and the donuts, but you could live on the hope. And you lived on the hope. And if you didn't have hope, you ran into another newcomer, and that's what we give each other. We give each other hope. And then you come to believe that you can have it too. And then you come to believe to know that you have it. And then you give it away, and you give it away, and that can happen within 24 hours. But you're given a big choice, and once you get to understand these steps, you see there's a responsibility then. You can no longer walk away and blame anybody else. Because if you want to stay in that position of sanity, if you want to stay balanced, you have to make a decision. In either way, you go to the third step. Step of faith. And you can make a decision to turn your will and your life over to the care of God. As you understand that God does, and not an angel, giant wings. I mean, angel, angel wings. The Roman Catholic smile on the angel that I went to school with. Worked for me. I mean, I wasn't telling everybody, gee, I had a 6-foot angel, stay away from me. But I gotta tell you, I had one. You know, a few years later, I had to, dismiss a lot of the, I still keep St. Anthony, I lose things every now and then. And I'll use anybody I need to. And now what's my God? This God as I understand this God. All of it. Jesus, Mary, Joseph, Muhammad, all of them, everybody, my brother, my nephew just went away. All of those people are there for me. That's a very big amount of information. All of them. That's a lot to turn your care over to. I am safe then. And it doesn't require that I do anything else in the third step. Just make the decision to turn it over. Turn it over. You know, at the beginning, we used to walk around turning over major things, minor things, all kinds of things. Turn it over. Never knew who the hell caught it, but we turned it over. Then I spent the next 10 years questioning what worked. Questioning my own faith. Fine, no problem. It led me to a great valley of hope. But that's life. And then the great step of courage and the fourth step. Admitted to God. I mean, that's God. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory. Oh my God, the books, the ways, the things. Take a yellow tablet, write it down. You're sick as your secrets. Your first inventory will be your greatest. You won't remember a word of it when you're 20 years older. If you do, you have shouldn't. Just take that pad and write like mad. Get it all out. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It's an effort. It's an honest, open willingness to try. That's all we care about. Inconsiderate and dishonesty, and examples of that, you know, who would think that dishonesty is to steal someone's time? Who would think of inconsideration of being disrespectful and turning your back? I mean, you will go from the big, huge, giant defects of character into what the book calls these little minor things that are the offshoots in it that people get drunk over. So yes, you will have plenty of time with the right people to work through this step. Take your time. But in the beginning, as soon as you can, write out those secrets, write out those things, get it out of your way, make room for God in the smallest way, and God will meet you 3,000-fold. That's what happens. That's what happens. And you take this little piece of paper and you find somebody and you break down the wall of isolation. The great, great, great killer of alcoholics. The loneliness and isolation. The killer of alcoholics who are sober. Don't just welcome the newcomer. Welcome us. Welcome the old timers. Because you see, we die sober sometimes and we're in pain. Stick out your hand to the guy that's there a long time, still showing up, taking their seat. I'm glad there's newcomers, but you know what? This is life. There'll always be newcomers. There better be old-timers, or I'm in deep trouble. I have to know someone's in front of me. I have to call Chris on the phone. And do we talk about the problems? No, we talk about God. We talk about how grateful we are to feel. We talk about our soul. We talk about how it feels. Because we have made room for that kind of conversation. So I am powerless, and I get the power back in the second step, and I make the decision to ask my God for help. And my God says, fine, I will help you make room for me. And I make room in the fourth step. And then so that when I can go back to your problem, and I go to God, and I say, this is precisely my problem. I am entirely ready. How do I know now, as my experience, that I am entirely ready? Because I accept myself. I say, Lila, you did it again. This is who you are. It's okay. I cannot tell you. And immediately I feel the power of God. And immediately I know. Because what? I have opened the doors to that God by accepting myself. I accepted that I was an alcoholic in a drunken, unconscious state. Why do I have such a hard time accepting myself when I'm just a giant asshole? It's awfully hard for me to reconcile that. But when I can do that and those defects have been raging and I say, yes, they're still there, I accept it. It's okay. Help me. Help me to do what? Well, you know, over the years I've had a year where I say, help me to not be afraid. Help me to feel that I am enough. This year I have chosen to say, help me to pause and believe that I will be protected. Be careful what you ask for. Because you will be given the experience that will solidify every organ in your body. And so you are given that gift of prayer. The meditation is the answer. The prayer is the question. So I go to God and I say, this is exactly what I did wrong, because I talked to these people and this is it, and will you help me? And then God says, yes, of course I will, Lila. And I feel at peace. However, was there anybody in the way while you were asking and saying on this? And 8 and 9 come into view where I have to make an amends and address myself. Sometimes it's just amending my own thinking. Sometimes I have to talk to somebody. Sometimes I don't. And I say, was there anybody in the way while I today in my soul and life wreak havoc? In such case, I amend that. And then I'm back to the staying sober one day at a time step. I'm back to 10. I continue to take personal inventory and stop myself. Because I'm well enough to do that now, you see. I was powerless over the incident. I've been given back the power in 2. I made the decision to hold on to that power. I cleared the way. I worked with an alcoholic to ensure I was being honest with myself. I said, God, this is what I have done. Will you help me? I have cleared the path and apologized, amended my behavior, and now I am back to 10. Here I am today. Will you help me today? And God, of course, my God, says, take a breath, Lila, and you will know I am there. Because now that you're well again, you can breathe. And when you breathe, I am your breath. In the morning, and I'm just grateful to be alive, and I say something. And during the day, I catch myself, and I again address it. That is night, the great night, when the spiritual universe is at its busiest, I think, and I go to sleep. I write, Dear Great Spirit, it is September, whatever it is, 12, 1997. These are my questions. What do I do about my mother? What do I do about the resurrected pain of my brother? What do I do about Jerry's surgery? What do I do about Matthew's cancer? What do I do about Tony's death? What do I do about this? What do I do about that? How do I handle this? What do I do about the fact that I let the dresser on? Do I talk to them? Should I? What, when, where, how, and why? Thank you for my sobriety. Help me to maintain it. I need and love you, Lila. I take that piece of paper and I throw it in the trash. And I sleep like a baby most of the time. Sometimes around 4 o'clock in the morning, I take it all back. But that's okay. I have the habit of recovery and the habit of sobriety. I can write it all and do it again. And you know, many times, through you, through the newspaper, through a person, through a phone call, through life, through breathing in and out, through showing up and doing the next indicated thing, because I am a sober person that is in the habit of doing such, I will get the answer. Somebody will come right away and say, oh yes, Jerry's back is fine. Matthew's whatever. Your mother's now unpacked. The house will be different when you see it the next time. All the answers will be present. Dana will give me a basket. It will delight me. Do you understand? I have asked and I receive. I have made room for God. Little did I know in making room for God that I would receive so much. And then it says that having had a spiritual awakening as a result of what? Of the process. The process of admitting that I am powerless, that it has made me unmanageable, that I want that power back, that I would like to be restored to balance, making a decision that that is more important to me than anything else, getting rid of what is in the way and looking at that, asking another person if I have been as honest as I possibly can be, saying, God, this is what I have found out. Will you help me? My sponsor can't help me on 7, honey. It's got to be God. Who's in the way have I hurt then? I'm back to the walking around step. I'm kind. What do I need to do now? What questions do I have left about what disturbs my day, my day? Make room for the answer. I have had a spiritual awakening. I don't know about you, but I can do this step in about 2.5 seconds anytime I want to during the day. I can activate this spiritual awakening. I did before I got up to this podium. I was powerful for all of you. I had to remind myself of that. I had to ask for that power. I had to make a decision that whatever it was, I was a channel for God, and this was my job. I'm capable of it. I have some good friends that I was able to talk to, so it's been a short order of being up here as being so different and so much more than when I was on the bathroom floor. And the minute I did that, I could feel it. I could feel that energy come in me. I could reach out and practically sense the tangibility of who's around me. I don't know if you can see them, but they're there. I am surrounded by God. I am surrounded by those that have gone on. I am surrounded by my brother and my nephew and all of them. Why, I even have Jane's grandmother show up every now and then. I need all the Irish people I can get. Is that your belief? Doesn't matter. Will it be my belief on Monday morning? Don't know. I haven't lived today yet. It's only halfway through. Is that a spiritual awakening? To be aware that you have a whole day. If I can do a lifetime from Sunday to Sunday, I can sure do it Sunday afternoon. That is a spiritual awakening. A convention. Dressed up in the stuff from the 60s as you were last night. I must say, if I were to give prizes, the men would win hands down. They were great. They were great with the vest and the whole thing. It was fantastic. I sat out there and enjoyed everybody. Everybody. That is a spiritual awakening. Being able to breathe is a spiritual awakening. Being able to take the book and say, heal me, is a spiritual awakening. Having Dana give me a basket, a rubber raft, a spiritual awakening. Being alive, being breathing, is a spiritual awakening. Sitting in your chair this morning is the most profound miracle you're going to have your whole life. And you haven't even finished the day. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what's in store for you? If you want to share your experience, strength, and hope, then you will be given experience, strength, and hope to share in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And in that experience, you will be giving everything that life has to offer. And if you don't drink, and you go to meetings, and you clean house, and you make room for God, you will never be given more than you can handle. The grace of God will never take you, and the grace of God will not keep you. It is a promise. So it is my job, my message. That I'm still here, that I'm still trying, that I'm still looking, that I still expect more, that I'm grateful to be alive, that I could cry. I was when I started, not of you, of living. My message. But the only way I know to live now is through the steps of the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. That for the years that I had these habits of sobriety, where I had my seat and I went to meetings really regularly and I read the book and I reached out and I talked to people on the phone and I did all those things. All those things. I now have to have practice, because that's what it is. I know what it was, the steps, how you work the steps. I practice them. I practice them. I practice them. All the time.